Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stick and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
The program, the sports program around here that just quietly goes about their business every single year. You talk about the standard being the standard. How about DU hockey? And they are poised to do it again. They advanced to the national championship game in St. Paul yesterday, beating Boston University in overtime.
Here come the Pioneers as they hurry. Throws, shot, score! It's over! Denver to the championship game!
John Buchegras on the call. Bucci's going to join us here in about 15 minutes as he did two Avalanche games for ESPN this past week, and now the DU game. So chance to really get some great insight from John Buchegras. He'll join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Boston College, the heavy favorite to win the national championship. They're a heavy favorite over DU tomorrow, but Pioneers have in their memory banks, they went out to Boston in October and beat BC 4-3. So they should have some confidence, and boy, they got to feel pretty battle-tested. All three of their tournament games, Mark, have been 2-1 wins.
Sure.
Two of them in overtime.
But that gives you confidence that, hey, man, we can play anybody tight and we can come away with a win. And the fact that they already went up to Boston College and beat them on their ice, you got to have a lot of confidence right now.
You got to. All right, let's go Piles.
Second down.
Nuggets and Spurs coming up tonight. Are the Nugs walking into a trap? It's a trap!
It's a trap!
So you get the emotional win over Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for many people, the sense that you did it. You clinched home court.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go beat San Antonio and Memphis, but that's just a mere formality. But give it to the Spurs. They have not quit on their season. They're 20-60 for the year, but in their last, what is it, their 3-4-5, 5-4, nothing great, but we're talking about a team that's 20-60. They're 5-4 in their last nine, including a game here a couple weeks ago, 10 days ago, where they lost 110-105.
Right. Played well.
And you know they're going to be treating this game like this is our NBA Finals.
Yeah, plus they have Pop.
Yeah, Pop.
Man, he'll be coaching. I mean, we only have Michael Malone. What does he know?
Right.
So
huge coaching mismatch, right?
Oh, it's a who's going gigantic coaching mismatch.
Who's going in the water? Who's
hang
going
up,
in the
hang
water?
Up, hang
yeah.
up.
Oh, bloop, 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 bloop.
Oh, gosh.
Is that Spieth?
No, that's fake Spieth. What's that guy?
I know. That's it kind of looks like.
Yeah, he just dressed up like Spieth.
He looks like Jordan Spieth, but he's not Jordan Spieth. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
So, Nuggets tonight. Trying to hold off Minnesota. Minnesota, by the way, will be hosting Atlanta. So that's what's going on.
I already called my shot. Atlanta wins that game. We win the Spurs. Game over.
Great.
We don't have to play anybody against Memphis.
Great.
Third down.
All right, so the Avalanche have a huge game of their own coming up tomorrow as they're taking on Winnipeg. What's at stake? Well, the two teams are tied right now for second in the division. And the way that it works out, the second-place team plays the third-place team in the divisions. And right now, the Avs and Winnipeg are tied. So home ice in that first-round matchup is on the line. Well, Winnipeg, about 10 days ago, I would have said, bring on the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They had lost.
You did say bring on the Jets. You said you weren't afraid of the Jets.
Why not?
They had a very cracking feel to me.
Well, they had lost six in a row.
Yeah.
Well, the Winnipeg has bounced back. They've now won five in a row, including last night going into Dallas. This same Dallas team that came in here and smacked the Avs around, they went into Dallas and shut them out 3-0.
Oh, no.
So Winnipeg's got a little mo going for them.
Does have a cracking feel, doesn't it? Should we get the? Are you going to get the Jets broadcast guy on for us, like you did for the?
And mock him.
Yeah, and mock him.
Pat him on the head.
Right? Are you cute? You think the Kraken have a chance to win?
You cute Kraken.
You're not that guy, pal.
Yeah,
No, I'm...
You just leave the guest booking to yours truly over here. On this side of the table.
I learned my lesson last year against the Kraken.
Mike is like, guess what? I got a great guest. It's the Kraken guy. I called him.
Terrible.
Put him on. Danny, you the ultimate jinx on that one. The ultimate jinx.
I know. I still owe him an apology. Because I'm now officially worried about the Kraken.
Yeah, we did. It was total... What do you call it? Patronizing a person?
Oh, God.
Yeah. I just like, oh, aren't you cute? You think the Kraken have a chance against the ass? Oh. Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a real Jordan Spieth right there.
Did Spieth just go in the water?
He did.
So fake Spieth went in the water, now real Spieth went in the water?
My goodness. Are they playing together? It's like
one, two, three. Fourth down.
Some Bronco news for you, as they are looking, apparently, at a free agent cornerback, Levi Wallace, visiting with the Broncos tomorrow. 6-year starter with the Bills, Steelers. Wallace has 12 interceptions the past 5 seasons. Got the seal of approval from former Bronco corner Chris Harris. Said it'd be a really good pickup. Says they still don't need to draft a corner as well. I think that's been one of the more underrated, not talked about parts of this offseason with all the focus on the quarterbacks, is the idea that they got to find a corner opposite PS2. Because
I tell you what,
because
though,
I cannot watch Foster Moreau anymore.
That would be...
Or Moreau Foster.
That would be a great pickup, because just, I mean, imagine all the... We could throw all the freedom.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's
William Wallace quotes, you know.
Right, sure.
I would like William Wallace on our team.
Yeah, he'd be tough.
Yeah.
That guy would play through some pain. That guy would play through some pain.
Yeah. Right. Gosh.
Take your zinners out. It won't matter.
No. Just stand there. Just playing for something bigger.
Yes.
Himself.
Exactly.
For
exactly. Can you imagine the pregame speeches?
Yeah.
Oh!
Right?
Run through a wall for that guy.
That's right.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory.
Just lead your men, they'll follow! Oh my gosh.
Up next, John Buccigross.
Bucci
joins us next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Ecobill and autopay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
John Buccigross is an FOS, a friend of Stink. But more importantly, dude has been on the Colorado.
I don't know that there's anything more important than that.
Well, no. This week it's far more important that he has been all over the Colorado hockey beat.
Yeah, yes.
Called 2 Avalanche games against Dallas and Minnesota. And then yesterday called DU's pulsating overtime win over BU to send them to the Frozen Four Championship. And John Buccigross joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Bucci, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
It's good to hear your voice. Is there a better name in hockey than Bros?
What's up, Bros? That was good. He brought his Bros to the title game. Back another overtime goal from him. So sometimes you have that magical touch, and right now he has it.
Being around this DU team for a short amount of time, what kind of vibe do you get from them? Do you get a sense of a team that's carrying themselves like a favorite, or one that has really embraced the underdog role at the Frozen Four?
I think probably the latter, yeah, for sure. A lot of attention sent the way of the other three teams with the really high end talent. You know, BU had is going to have the first overall pick, Macklin Celebrini, and Michigan has some of their high end picks. And of course, the football team just won the national championship, so the Wolverines were trying to do the same on for the hockey team and their long drought. They both won the same year back in 98, and they were hoping that the football team, it took them a while before they won their next one. And you know, maybe this will be our year. And that didn't happen. And, of course, Boston College is the number one overall seed. They had an amazing freshman line and multiple, you know, first-round draft picks. So, yeah, they probably did feel like the overlooked team.
Hey, Booch, you've done a bunch of Avs games, and you're as dialed into the NHL as anybody. As we kind of approach this playoff, I think there's some concerns about goaltending. There's some concerns about defensive breakdowns. When you call an Avs game and you're around those players, what's your overall sense about what this team can do come playoff time? And are those concerns legitimate?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, for sure. You know, they're really, really good at home and not on the road. You know, that you don't like to have those big disparities. Good teams tend to win everywhere, wherever they are. And for whatever reason, they have this, you know, at home, they're so much better than they are on the road. And, you know, they might, if you don't have home ice in the playoffs, then that's a problem. And so that is a concern. Now, some teams can flip the switch once the playoffs come around. You know, they won it all 2 years ago. And so perhaps, you know, you can just dial it back up, and that's possible, but it still has to be a concern when over 80 games you have this disparity home and away. You are giving up a lot of grade A chances. The goalie's kind of hot and cold, you know. So in this, of course, in the midst of McKinnon having a career year, Rantanen, you know, was had career year in certain areas. So, and Makar's back to 20 goals. Again, he is a career high in points, even more than his Norris Trophy winning year. So you have those, that big three doing what they do. But, you know, I think one thing you have to give them a break, but, you know, let's face it, they have to fix it quickly, is they made a lot of moves, a lot of roster moves. You know, Logan O'Connor gets hurt, so then he's out. So they make all these deals at the deadline. There's a lot of different stuff going on in the bottom six, and they have to bring in a new defenseman. So, you know, maybe they do need some more time, but they better hurry up, obviously, because the playoffs start in a couple weeks.
I'm visiting with John Buchagross from ESPN, called a couple Avs games, called the D game yesterday. Watching Nathan McKinnon do what he did the other night, it was incredible, even for all of us who have watched McKinnon for so long. Can you recall the last time that you saw somebody skate around NHL players, the best in the world, as effortlessly as he did?
No, I mean, it's only him and McDavid that can do that. But yeah, he's just a freak show. Like, you know, he's one of those big new Tesla giant SUV square truck things, you know, that just gets flying downhill. And how the hell do you handle that guy? And it's like Barry Sanders when he made NFL players look silly. Like, just some guys just have that level and just look different. And that's what he is right now. And you really didn't notice that. And then when we talked to him after the game, the first thing he said was, "I woke up feeling good today." It's like, yeah, he just felt different. There is definitely an extra gear in a long professional season in any sport. I remember back in high school sports, there were days my body just felt weird, and I just you couldn't make a free throw, you couldn't throw the ball to first base from shortstop. It's just you're off kilter, and in other games you just feel a little bit better. So at that level, I'm sure it's the same thing. Occasionally, you know, they just don't quite feel their best, but some days you wake up and you just feel different and energized, and he obviously did that, and he took his foot off the gas. I think he could have scored 7 goals if he really wanted to that night, but he felt bad that he made Minnesota look so terrible.
He was incredible, and I think one of the things that probably goes unnoticed, and you guys did a great job on the broadcast, but, you know, the assist he had to Lehkonen, like, that was one where, you know, I think most guys will take a shot. And he's like, I don't got a great shot, but let me set my partner up on a backhand, just assist. That was like, it was as good as those, you know, goals that he scored in the hat trick. And I guess here, you know, we're waiting for McKinnon to kind of get nationally recognized. I don't know if you have a vote or not, but is he the MVP? Is he the Hart Trophy winner?
Yeah, I've had a vote the last 2 years for all the big awards. I haven't heard if I'm doing one this year. I haven't heard yet, so my guess is maybe I don't. I think they kind of rotate some broadcasters around a little bit, give people different people a chance. But what I was thinking if I did have a vote was just whoever wins the scoring title between him, Kucherov, and McDavid, because they were so even. But then when you do have the 50 goals, you know, and if he gets more goals, maybe he deserves it. It's just so difficult because it is so even. I just don't think there's. I think they should give an award for each conference. I mean, baseball still gives two MVP awards and two Cy Young awards. No, that's because the league never played each other before, and now they do have interleague play. But they still give the two awards. I think that's smart because there's so many teams now. Up to 32 teams, and the schedules are a bit different. So why not just give one in the East and one in the West? Those guys are going to retire, and their resume won't quite reflect the player they are because they're never going to win a major award because every year there's so many players they go up against. I mean, hockey used to have six teams. Now there's 32. And so it makes it really difficult. So I think having two conferences, MVP awards and everything else would just kind of alleviate that. Then you could vote for Kucherov in the East and McKinnon in the West.
Well, John, you'll love this because Mark always talks about with the football games he does for Fox that if 50% of the audience loves you and 50% of them hate you, then you're doing a great job. We got this text. Hey, tell Buchagross that he was as much of a homer play-by-play and color guy that you can get for BU without actually just being on Nesson.
Good. All I had to say, Bushi, is good job then by you. That's a good job. I get those texts all the time or those tweets all the time.
I was thinking about doing the play-by-play with the Boston accent. There's bros in the corner, bros in the pack in the corner, throws it up top. Oh, that's a goal for the Pioneer.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Bushi, man, all the best to you. It's always great to catch you. How's your golf game real quick?
It's eroding quickly. You know, the back is stiff. I don't play as much. You know, my beautiful blue eyes don't see as well as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a train wreck. You know, I always have the second best blue eyes at ESPN when Schlereth was there. So when he left, it was the best day of my life.
Oh, I appreciate you, man.
Well, it could be worse. You could be Jordan Spieth, who just put a 9 up at Augusta.
I saw that. Yeah. So he's done. So, yeah. But, yeah, enjoy the Masters and enjoy the Natty. 4 o'clock Eastern time. Don't forget. I mean, Mountain time. 4 o'clock tomorrow night. Dinner with Bucci, and I'll try not to do the game with a Boston accent. Boston
College. Yeah, because Boston College. So, yeah.
Let's go, Denver. Let's go, Denver.
You're the best, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, man. Take care.
Peace out. Booyah.
All right. John Buchagross on 2 calls of Avalanche games this week and the DU Pioneers, and again tomorrow in the championship game against Boston College. So, he hears you, Pioneer fans. He hears you. Buchagross and all of our guests joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Mark's dreams could be coming true. What's trending coming up next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Oh, man. Look out. Just when you thought Mark had kind of calmed down, Tom Brady had been away from football and, things were just sort of getting back to normal. But then Brady, on a podcast, looked like it was one of those barbershop type or, getting the haircut conversation type things, had this to say.
Somebody
Raiders look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in an NFL team, but I don't know if, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Hmm. My gosh, could you imagine?
Mark, you just, what's happening to you? It's like a bolt of electricity just went through you.
Rogue didn't even know this. I called his last regular season game. Rogue, did you know that? I called his last regular season game. Did I ever tell you this? So I'm walking through the tunnel. I just left the cameraman meeting, and I'm walking through, and they have the whole thing shut off, and he's walking through. There's a little tiny 3-foot gate. So we're gonna meet in the middle of this thing, and so we stop and exchange pleasantries, and he hugs me, and he puts his cheek right up against my cheek, and it's a warm, 4-second embrace. And I discovered the cure for ED at that point, because I was like, it's the pants, it's the pleats of these pants. I'm going to have to go to the pants store and get new pants. It was awesome.
Was that the best day of your life?
Oh, I never washed that cheek again. It was like,
you know,
It hasn't been washed yet.
You actually have like a little growth now coming out of your cheek. You kind of have a breeze look right there.
It was a little breezy. It was exceptional. What a day. If he came back, oh my gosh. What a great day. That would be the best day ever.
The best day ever. Huh?
If anybody wants to call me, I'll answer.
To do what?
Well, certainly not play.
I was going to say, what are you talking about?
I don't know. If they call me, I'm going to answer.
Uh-huh.
Just letting you know. Give me a call. I'm not opposed to answering the phone.
You love phone calls.
Yeah.
The numbers that have come out of this Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, my gosh.
Betting investigation with his interpreter. So, apparently, air quotes, apparently, allegedly, without Ohtani knowing, his interpreter placed 19,000 bets with Ohtani's money, the average bet being $12,000. He won $142 million, lost $183 million. Andrew Brandt, who we had on recently, he follows the business of sports, he tweeted out, reading the complaint says, Mizuhara called the bank and identified himself as Ohtani to authorize wire transfers from the account to people involved in an illegal gambling operation. To that, Brandt says, what? Just said, hey, this is Ohtani. I need to send a bookie millions. And the bank said, sure. Brandt doesn't say this, but I'll say it. Something stinks to high heaven in this.
Oh, but they went through a thorough investigation. And said Ohtani had no idea.
No idea.
None.
The most visible face in baseball right now. Shocking. Had no idea.
No.
Gambling in this establishment?
In Brentwood?
Come on. My goodness.
Dude, they are not. He's the sacred cow. They're just not going to touch him.
It feels like that. It feels like this is
180. So he's lost $40 million essentially.
Yes,
$40 million. You don't think you're going to realize that $40 million is gone from your account? Hello, Ohtani here.
Inconceivable.
Hey, yeah. Give credit where credit's due, though. He showed the restraint to not bet on baseball.
Good point. Good point.
That is a good point.
That's some iron will discipline right there.
Yes.
The Caitlin Clark WNBA effect. It is not dying down just because she's leaving Iowa. So the Indiana Fever of the WNBA.
I got a fever, and the only cure is more cowbell. Right?
So.
You said fever.
I was going to say the only solution is more Caitlin Clark, because check this out. The Indiana Fever had one televised game last year. They just picked her, Caitlin Clark, in the WNBA draft. And the Indiana Fever announced that 36 of their 40 games will be on national TV next season.
Wow. Hey, man, they're banking. Who has the... I don't even know who has... Who carries WNBA games? Is it ESPN? You haven't tuned in?
Not really.
Anybody? Johnny, do you tune in to WNBA games?
I will now that my team's about to draft Caitlin Clark.
Good point.
Oh, your team is
your team. Fever.
Oh, the Fever.
Fever.
That's right. The Fever.
So the Masters is going on. We were telling you about how the food at the Masters is really, really cheap. It's really affordable. Well, so too is the pro shop. They don't gouge you at the pro shop at the Masters. And the fans, and it's so hard to get, you can only get Masters gear at the Masters, right? Uh-huh. I mean, you see somebody walking around with, unless it's a real good knockoff, you know that person or somebody got it for them at the Masters. So check out this. The Masters shop, Mark, is expected to do around $70 million in merchandise sales this week. You break that down, that's $10 million per day, $1 million per hour, $16,000 per minute, $277 per second that the store is open.
It's pretty good business.
Wanted to know where that $50 million landscaping budget came from. There you go.
You have anything? You have any? Because you've covered the Masters. Do you have any Masters gear?
You know, back then, it was the early 90s. I wasn't really consumed with walking away with Masters gear. Plus, I was so busy. I was walking that golf course.
Plus, you probably had no money either.
I had no money.
You just started.
I had no money. No money. Why do you think I ate so many pimento cheese sandwiches?
Right,
they were free.
Right. That's where you got your flavor for cheese.
They were free. Are you kidding me?
I like to go.
I had no per diem with the company I worked for. I was looking for that free media food wherever I could find it.
I like to go into a golf course like a pro shop, like if it's a windy day or a little colder day, and see if I can demo a coat.
I was so...
Can I demo those pants?
So I was so poor, like most people starting out. I had a great job. It was an awesome job. I was getting to cover great sporting events, but I had no money of my own. So whenever the media food came out, I like always took advantage of it. So I used to cover a lot of Red Sox games at Fenway Park, right?
Right.
So I would just house food at the pregame dinner for the media because it was free, and I couldn't eat all day pretty much. And the lunch ladies working behind the counter there, they got so sympathetic to me that they would like make me sandwiches and wrap them up so I could bring them home with me to have for the next day.
This Mikey Evans with hot dogs shoved in his pockets, doing the post game, you know, in the scrum of the post game presser. You got 14 hot dogs shoved in your pants. Hey, Mike, is that a hot dog? You just happy to see me.
Wade Boggs was impressed.
Yeah.
All right. That is What is Trending. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, giving you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest. We heard from our pal Joel Klatt a couple days, his thoughts on Bo Nix. What does he have to say about J.J. McCarthy? We'll hear a little bit from Joel coming up next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
On this Is It Just Me Friday, is it just me, or this is why I love watching major golf tournaments, watching the world's best golfers just get brought to their knees.
Right.
Having to actually play tough conditions. You know, normally every week they're playing on these perfectly manicured pitch and putt type courses, but at places like Augusta, you can pay for bad play. And we saw Jordan Spieth hit one into the water, take a 9 on a par 5.
I know it.
Brian Harman, who just a couple weeks ago played really well at the Players Championship, finished double bogey, double bogey, double bogey, plus 9. Thanks for coming.
Gosh, that's tough, right? I'm at the point, my golf game is I can't take more than a double bogey. I like that rule.
Oh, you do doubles. No wonder your scores are... I always thought your scores were a little bit inflated.
No.
I thought the rule was you don't take more than a triple. That if you once you get to a triple, pick up your ball, move on.
Yeah, well, yeah, say...
You know.
Whatever. Yeah, well, however we decide to do it at the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really keep score.
I heard Stokely is like a bogey. Oh, that's a bogey. Just put me down for a bogey. We'll move on.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm really making it up. Yeah.
Is it just me, or would it be awesome if Tom Brady stuck it to Belichick and came back to play with the Patriots?
Well, he already stuck it to him playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and winning another championship, right?
Good point.
I mean, how much more are you going to... He's not around. If he's still in New England, and New England was asking him to come back, and the Raiders, and he said, no, I'm going to go to the Raiders. He would look good in that silver and black, though, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
Is it just me, or no one really believes the Ohtani interpreter story, do they? It is hard to believe.
Right.
You know, that this guy was able to steal that much money, and the bookies and the people taking the money, they weren't ever, like, not aware where the money was coming from. They just assumed that this guy had this kind of money.
Right.
They never connected the dots that this guy was connected to Ohtani, was friends with Ohtani, was in Ohtani's interpreter. They never figured that out.
And that Ohtani never asked a question? Never said, hey, dude, what happened to that $4 million in my account? Like, Yeah, it does. It does.
It stinks.
It does feel a little far-fetched.
Yeah. But, hey, the Department of Justice did the investigation.
That's right.
Got to be legit, right?
You know those guys. I know who they didn't have to do the investigation. Reacher. If Reacher would have done the investigation, one, somebody would have been guilty, not just the interpreter, and two, somebody would have had a broken leg, beat up,
yep.
You know,
yep.
Been in the hospital
somebody
for a while.
Would have got beaten up.
Yeah.
If Reacher was on it. Absolutely. Joel Klatt is on the case. Joel Klatt, our buddy, who we have on every week during the NFL season. We'll do so again next season, but he's been doing on his podcast, he's been doing his top players, ranking them for the upcoming NFL draft. And he talked about Bo Nix yesterday. I think he had Nix around 24, 25, his 24th or 25th best player. Well, he has J.J. McCarthy a lot higher. Of course, Joel has shared with us how he's done probably about 15 Michigan games over the
years. Right now, originally, he had said that he thinks J.J. McCarthy should go back to school.
He did say that.
Yeah.
So, but,
okay, so now he's reevaluated.
And this is what he says.
This is the way it works, because you watch a couple of games, and then you watch some more stuff, and you're like, oh, okay, like I didn't necessarily see that live, so this is awesome.
All right, so Broncos country, pay close attention to this, because if the Broncos make a blockbuster move to move up, it's likely going to be for this guy, McCarthy.
I've seen J.J. McCarthy since he was just a pup. When he comes in as a true freshman, he's getting spot duty with Cade McNamara. And he grew into a guy that was the reason they were able to go win a national championship. They've had teams that did what this team has done in every other facet other than crunch time, fourth quarter, can the quarterback go win the game? You know it's true. Michigan has had really great teams for a long time under Jim Harbaugh, but they didn't always have the quarterback that could raise the level of the team when they needed it most. And guess what? He was able to do that in the Rose Bowl against Alabama.
More from Klatt on J.J. McCarthy, quarterback on quarterback. Klatt looking at J.J. McCarthy, what makes him stand out from maybe the other quarterbacks in this class?
And I'll say, okay, I want to watch just J.J. McCarthy on third downs and 7+. And when you do that, basically hardest down to play as a quarterback. When you watch his cut up at third down 7+, it's like, wow. Why is he not a top 5 player? And you know what? Fair enough. Maybe I'm too low on J.J. McCarthy.
You agree with that? Third and 7, the toughest down? Third and 7,
oh, yeah.
Third and 8.
Third and 7. I mean, one, eliminate your playbook. I mean, unless you're the Detroit Lions and you know you're going for it on fourth down every time, because their third down and 7 is a little bit different than everybody else's third down and 7. They run the ball more on third down and long situations than any other team in football, because if they get it to 4th and 2, they're going for it. So there's a little bit of a different flair there if you're Detroit, right, and Dan Campbell. But he's 100% right. Third down and 7, we used to, like when I had a young quarterback playing, I remember when Greasy started playing for us, and I just say, hey, dude, keep us out on third down and 7. Keep us in third down and manageable, we'll be fine. We can live that way. But third down 7+ is just an absolute nightmare constantly. So, yeah, I'm 100% on board with that. And he's like the third down and 7 stuff, if you're good on third and 7, if you can complete balls on third, give your chance or team a chance to convert, that's big time. Because you eliminate the playbook. You're not running the ball in those situations.
Flat out, Klatt thinks J.J.'s a dude.
When he had the ability to change the game on third downs, extend plays, make plays on the edge, create, throw on the run, use his leg to move the chains, he did it. He did it. That's why he's going to be great at the next level. And, oh, hey, by the way, totally unselfish, doesn't care who gets the credit, and is just flat a winner. Who doesn't want that in the locker room? Yeah.
Here's what I saw looking at J.J. and why, you know, J.J. was the one guy that I said I liked better than the other dudes, right? I better than Caleb and better than those guys. I know Caleb has that, all that, you know, generational stuff. But what I loved about J.J. was not only does he operate pre-snap, in out of the huddle, you know, calling plays, changing formations, motioning guys, shifting guys, changing strengths, more you know, progression type passing. But I don't know that I saw a guy complete more anticipatory tight window throws than J.J. McCarthy. Now, he doesn't throw it a lot. He didn't throw it a ton. But, dude, there's a confidence in knowing where I want to go with the football and not shying away from a tough throw, where a lot of guys just won't throw it. You know, that's the thing I always say during a broadcast. Like, when this kid was in college, that was covered. He's in the NFL now. You got to throw that ball. That is wide open. And JJ's that guy that goes, oh, okay, I got one. I'll fit it in there. And has no fear about making that throw. So, yeah, I thought he was great with tight window anticipatory throws. And anyhow, that's just kind of how I evaluated him.
And that is the biggest issue you had, and you probably believe Sean Payton had, with Russell Wilson, that Russ just doesn't see or anticipate or want to
right.
make those anticipatory throws. I watched enough film with you looking at coaches' film, and you can see those plays where the receiver, the tight end, he has his guy stacked. He mm-hmm. has his guy on his back.
Right.
He's a step ahead of him. Maybe only a half a step ahead of him.
Yeah.
But he's got the guy on his back. That's mm-hmm. open
yeah.
in the NFL. Throw it. Rip it.
Yeah.
And
the problem is he's the first read in the progression. And you can tell that just by the drop and by where his head snaps initially too. So first read, it's wide open, throw the damn ball. No, let me pull it.
Countless examples. Or the idea that, okay, maybe he doesn't have his guy stacked or set up yet, but the way that the route is designed and the way that the route's progressing, he's about to.
Right.
And if you just hang in the pocket
yeah.
for a half a second.
You throw him open. Yeah.
And there are countless examples of Russ not doing that. And if you want the clearest reason why Russ isn't here anymore and why Sean Payton can't work with him and what Sean Payton wants in a quarterback, we just summed up in the last minute.
So I will tell you, I'll give you guys some insight. And this is going to be, you know, the Rusty fans are going to, you know, get angry. But I'm not going to give you names or people, but just know that I've done enough things in Seattle that I know. And there's a concept called dagger. You know what a dagger is? Do you know what that route is?
Basically, but go ahead, describe it. Okay,
if you get in a 2x2 formation, you take the inside slot receiver and run him. Just, you're trying to clear coverage, right? So you run him between the safety and the corner, especially if you've got, you know, you've got that too high safety look that everybody's playing. And so that quarters kind of look. So you're running that safety out of that zone, right? And then the outside receiver is taking an in-breaking route. They call it a dig at about 18 yards. And when you throw that route, and usually you have something underneath as well, you know, a little flat route by a back or whatever. But when you throw that route, Mike, you're throwing that before the receiver comes out of the break, and you're throwing it into that window. Okay, so you're throwing it into a window.
Yeah.
I was told by
reliable sources,
we eliminated that play, that day one concept, we eliminated from our playbook because Russ won't throw it because he doesn't anticipate it. He doesn't see it. And it's a middle of field throw that, you know, goes to 18 yards. Now, fast forward to Sean Payton's offense. I covered his offense and watched Breeze throw that. Breeze completed that play, that concept, 7-8 times a game. So you're talking about 7-8 times a game at about 18 to 20 yards a clip. You want to talk about why your scoring totals are down 7 points? There you have it. And it's just little things like that drive coaches crazy. And I understand how it works, and not that I've ever thrown it, but I get the concepts and I've been told how they work, and I've seen them, and you know, I've blocked for them, and those things will drive you nuts.
Hey, it's the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. The Fan Flyaway is back. This time we're going to be sending possibly you and one guest on a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship.
Lawyers. Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Coming up in June, here's what you get. Two tickets to a game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined, two nights hotel, $500 of spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And by the way, those of you who previously entered for our Fan Flyaway in February to the big game, you're automatically registered for this one as well. Grandfathered in. So once you get signed up, you're in for all of our future Fan Flyaways, including this one. Get signed up.